This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this week.
Here we are, face to face, a couple of silver spoons. Hoping to find we're two of a kind. Make it a go.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 50 of Old TV with a New Twist. Today we are here, and it's an exciting day here in the studio because I have a new co-host, my co-worker and friend, Victoria. Victoria, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Glad to be here?
Yes, very happy.
Good. Yes, yes. We are going to talk about a show that was requested by my listener, Daryl. It is Silver Spoons, and it is a show from 1982. Victoria, where were you in 1982?
A dream, maybe, potentially, possibly.
Not born yet at all.
No.
How many years before your birth was 1982? Let's do some quick math.
16
years. I love to get people who like not even alive back in this time to see like what you think of the time and the wardrobe and the 80s were a lot.
Yeah, I've been told that a lot.
But I'm going to tell you a little bit about Silver Spoons, okay? It ran for 5 seasons from 1982 to 1987. There was 116 episodes. Now, the characters, the main characters throughout, there's basically 3 main characters throughout. The first one is Ricky Stratton, who's the little boy. He's played by Ricky Schroeder. He was born in 1970. So in this episode, he was 12 years old.
Yes.
That's about how old I thought he was. He was 17 when the series ended. Then he went on to play Detective Danny Sorensen in NYPD Blue from 1998 to 2001. And he was kind of really, you know, that was like prime time.
Yeah.
Great show. Everybody knew it. All total on IMDb, he has 64 acting credits for his career.
Wow.
Which is pretty good.
It's not bad.
The next character is his dad, Edward Stratton, played by Joel Higgins, who was born in 1943, which makes him 39 years old when this show started, the episode we watched. He's probably known best for this role, but he got his start on soap operas, One Life to Live and Search for Tomorrow. And then he played Marshal Sam Best in The Best of the West, which ran from 81 to 82. However, I have to tell you, I was madly in love with this actor, Joel Higgins, who played the dad. And I fell in love with him when he played Matt Phillips on the miniseries Bare Essence in 1982. I fell in love with him. And I'm sure you've never seen
it. No, I've never heard of it.
You know, Joel was kicking it in the early 80s because he was, all these shows are right in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
His career, he has 23 acting credits. So less than half of what Ricky has. And then the last is Kate Summers. The character Kate Summers, played by Erin Gray. Mm-hmm. She was born in 1950, so she was 32 years old. And she was probably most popular for this, but she also played Colonel Wilma Deering in Buck Rogers in the 25th Century from 1979 to 1981. Victoria's got an eyebrow up in the air. Buck Rogers was a big show at the time.
Never heard of this back in the day.
You have heard of none of this.
No.
I know. She's looking very
confused.
Everything
sounds familiar. And I'm like, oh no, that sounds like da 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 from 2005, from 2009. And I'm like, okay.
Some of it was remade, maybe. I don't know. And then the other two characters, which Leonard Rowlands, who's his attorney, was played by Leonard Lightfoot. He's going to leave after the second season and they get another guy for his attorney. And he's got 31 acting credits. And then last of all, Lou, the business manager, mm-hmm. who is the villain of the piece.
Yes.
He was played by Robert Picardo. And he has 242 acting credits.
Goodness.
242.
Does he sleep?
I don't know. So, as I said, we watched season 1, episode 1, which is just called pilot. It aired September 25th, 1982. And the synopsis for the series, according to IMDb, is this. Millionaire Edward Stratton III, an overgrown child on the verge of bankruptcy, learns he has a son, Ricky, from a previous marriage. That sums it up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Now, without getting into any specifics about the show or anything that happened, what's your overall impressions?
I thought it was cute. It was okay. It was kind of weird. I wrote a note that says, it kind of reminds me of Uncle Joey from Full House, lived on his own, but with less puppets.
Okay. We'll take that.
You know, he's a giant child.
Exactly. And that's the, I kind of got the impression they were trying to say, like, the child acts more like an adult and the dad acts more like a child.
Yeah.
Through this.
Yeah.
They were kind of switched roles. Oh, this thing I wanted to ask you. Could you feel the difference in era? Like, could you feel it was a whole different?
Definitely. I have
What made you feel that way? Tell me what.
I have somewhat of a background in stagecraft. And I'm very, like, detail-oriented when it comes to sets and props and everything. The second they opened that door and I saw a painted backdrop with a few actual objects in front of it, I was like, okay, that's what kind of, like, I was like, oh, what kind of production quality is this? What kind of, you know, budget did they have? Was this cheap? Was this good? And then my mom came in and she saw me watching it and she was like, oh, I love Silver Spoons. And I was like, what kind of budget did they have? And she was like, oh, it was really good for that time. And I was like, oh, okay.
Everything was way more simplistic back then. That. It was just not as detailed. But there was, so let's begin, because first of all, we get the exterior of this huge mansion. It reminded me, and I know you're not going to know what I'm talking about, of the house in Dark Shadows long time ago. Just this big gothic looking mansion almost. Oh. But the exterior shot of the Stratton mansion shown during the opening credits is actually Compton Wynyates, a Tudor period English country house located in Warwickshire, England.
I don't feel as bad because I have a note that says, why is the house a Scottish castle?
You nailed it. That's what it is. But I think he's supposed to be, it's supposed to be in Connecticut. I'm pretty sure.
I can kind of see the.
Yeah. I've been to Connecticut, but there's probably houses like that up there. And the first thing we see in this big mansion, the doorbell rings and we see this living room.
Yes.
With
a train.
A guy comes in sitting on a train in the living room. Were you expecting this?
No, it wasn't. And you know, my first thought when I saw the guy on the train. Saw the guy on the train and then my brain processed the fact that he was going past a giant column and literally my first thought was, wow, they have a lot of money.
Well, I think they wanted to portray that right away.
Yeah.
Here comes the train. He's sitting on the train through the living room. He uses the train to get around the house, which we'll see later.
Yeah.
Did you think about how hot he was? Because he was really...
No, I actually cannot stand the dad.
I thought he was so cute. He was Matt Phillips on Bare Essence. I gotta say it again. He was... Oh, I loved him. Well, once again, okay, we're going to talk about hair. Wait, I got things to say about hair. Hold up. Okay. But in the house, we see like giant crayons standing up. He's got gumball machines, lots of video games, pinball machines. Yeah. My husband, of course, noticed a drum set because my husband's a drummer. Any other little things you noticed?
Like, there's a lot in this room is all I could think. And I just remember I was like, oh, does a man even live here? Is this a real house? And then I noticed the leather, like, tufted couch armchair thingy and I was like, oh no, he lives here.
Yeah,
oddly, but he lives here.
The center thing being a foosball table.
Yeah.
In the middle of the room. So he's on this train, the doorbell rings, he's gonna use a automatic door opener, like a remote control door opener, which back then was like huge. Now so many things are remote control, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like not as... Back then, that was huge. Yeah. And later on, he's going to use a remote control to open and close the curtains and stuff. And that's kind of not that big of a deal now.
No.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed by it, but
no.
I knew it was a big deal.
But
the
back then, it was very impressive. Yeah. So in walks his attorney, Leonard, and his business manager, Lou. And they have to talk to him. Why, Victoria? What do they need to tell him?
I thought, oh, wow, he has a lot of money. And then his lawyer goes, you're broke. And I went, oh, JK. Maybe he doesn't have a lot of money.
There goes that foosball table.
You're broke.
And they both take turns trying to say, you're broke. Your money is gone. But he is more involved in his Pac-Man game.
Didn't at one point he kind of ask, like, what do you mean? I don't understand. What's the concept of being broke? I don't get that.
What was funny, and I thought this was a very funny line, he said, I'm rich. I was born rich. I'm going to die rich.
You should have died yesterday.
Yeah. Didn't you think that was a funny line?
Kind of. I was like, ooh.
You were going to die rich. They really are trying to tell him, look, no Florida, no Paris, no servants. And he says, no. My servants are loyal to me. My servants will never leave me. Here they come down the stairs with their suitcases, the chauffeur, the maid, the cook.
He's just like, I really need to stagger their vacations.
They all just walked out the door. So Lou says, look, the business manager, mm-hmm. who we trust totally.
Oh, completely.
Lou says, I promise I'm going to help get you out of this. Mm-hmm. And Edward says, okay, look, remember, I'm bringing the weenies to the cookout on Sunday, because he still is not acting like they just told him he lost all his money.
No.
He's not grasping it at all. So yeah. Leonard goes and opens the door. The doorbell rings. He opens it. And here stands this little blonde-haired boy.
Daddy?
We need to mention Leonard is an African-American man.
Yes.
So this little blonde-haired boy looks at him and says, Daddy. And he says, only if you're from Philadelphia. And he says, I gave it a try. Mom's a liberal. Which that is the most, I'd say, what's the word that we're going to get in this episode?
Political.
Is just that one little exchange, which was
kinda
funny.
Yeah, I was kind of thrown by it. You never hear people, they like do their best to either completely avoid it or the entire show is about politics.
Right.
No in between.
Yeah. But that was it. And it was cute and it was funny. But this little boy standing there is looking for his dad. It was not Leonard.
No.
But his dad is engrossed in playing Pac-Man. This little boy is wearing a military school uniform, and he has stolen Princess Diana's hairdo. The hair was just a bit... Did his hair do anything with you?
Looks like Justin Bieber.
No.
Kind of.
Justin Bieber had the bowl cut. He had the little bang flip and the little, I don't know. And it was like blonde and soft and
it blonde. Okay. So my grandmother used to cut my aunt and my mother's hair. And she used to give them a bowl cut in the pictures, because we're Hispanic, we got a lot of texture to our hair. When they would straighten it, it would look like Ricky's haircut.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they weren't blonde, but it looked a lot like that. So to me, I was like, oh, everyone must have had that hair in the 80s.
But here's the thing. Would we ever see anybody with that hairstyle, haircut, whatever, on a show today?
No.
No.
Actually, if you have that haircut today, you're often referred to as Coconut Head. And he is a character in Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide, which was an old Nickelodeon show in the early 2000s. For kids roughly my age.
Never heard of Coconut Head.
And Coconut Head had almost the exact same haircut, just with a little less texture.
Okay. Because he had some flowing locks. They were long blonde locks.
Yeah, he's got nice hair.
But he's a cute kid.
Cute kid.
And he goes up to him and he says, hey, Dad, you know, I'm your kid. Apparently he was married, and his ex-wife, Evelyn, maybe when they split, was pregnant and never told him.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could think
of. I have an LOL moment that says, how can we have a son? We weren't married that long. And Ricky's like, well, it doesn't take that long.
Yeah, that was a good moment. That was funny. So the dad looks at him in this military uniform. He says, you in the service or what? He says, no, I'm in military school. And so he's, you know, he meets his son for the first time. You'd think the dad would have something to say, but he wants to know if the son wants to play Swamp Wars.
On the note of the military uniform, I have a constant thing throughout the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he in his military uniform?
He doesn't change. He never changes.
He never changes, but also just get like, okay, whatever. He doesn't change his clothes. That's fine. Why does he go to his dad in his military uniform when you very well own quote unquote civilian clothing?
Right. You know what I'm thinking is maybe first impressions is everything. And he wanted to look adult and grown up, and maybe that was the only dress clothes he had. You know, it might be the only suit he had. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'm just thinking that was, or maybe for storyline purposes, they wanted to drive home the fact that he was sent to a military school. Because back then, people sent their kids to military school to get rid of them, kind of,
yeah.
You know? So that was to show, you know, she wanted to get rid of him. Now, in comes Kate Summers, who's Edward's personal secretary. I remember thinking back then, I still think now, she's one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen.
Oh, she's very pretty.
Because it's natural. There's no Botox. There's no blown up lips. There's not all this makeup contouring her face. Nothing. She's just plain and natural and positively gorgeous.
Yes.
And she's proof that you don't need to do all that. And she's still beautiful today. She is 72 years old. And I saw something of her in a show lately. She did a guest appearance as a judge. And her hair's all gray, but she still hasn't had a lot of plastic surgery or anything. And she's still beautiful. I just loved her. I loved the way she dressed. I just loved everything about Kate. In comes Kate. And Edward introduces her to Ricky and says, hey, it's my son. She doesn't seem too shocked.
No.
She wants to talk to him because he wants to make a donation to Toys for Tots. What does he want to donate to Toys?
He wants to donate a Ferrari.
It's like, what are these kids going to do?
He's like, oh, it can be a small car.
She's like, well, I just heard that conversation you had with your lawyer, so maybe we ought to hold off on the Ferrari for now. Did you get the idea here that Edward and Kate were more than employee and employer?
Yes, completely. At least she has a crush on him.
Yeah. He's hard to read. He's just goofy. He's just always joking and goofy and never concentrating or paying attention.
I have a note that he reminds me of Steve from Blue's Clues.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah. It's mostly the outfit, but it's also like the like slight ADHD.
And he wears the same kind of shirt, too. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it yeah. kind of a stripe? Yeah. He looked just like it.
Green shirt with stripes on it.
Yeah. So Edward thanks Kate for being the only employee of his that did not leave.
Yes.
And she greets Ricky. She says, look, did you eat? No, I'm going to leave a sandwich for you in the kitchen. And he said, okay, where's the kitchen? She said, take the train two rooms over. You're going to reach a ghost town. Take a left at the abandoned mine shaft, past the old mail hook. And it's hysterical. I thought that was funny because it's just like this house was built for a kid by a kid. It's every kid's dream, which Edward apparently is.
Yeah.
Still a child. But he wants to talk to his dad seriously. But his dad wants to play foosball.
Yes. So yes. They play foosball.
Who wins? Do we know?
All I remember is they kept cheating.
Yeah, like, oh, look over there. Boom.
Yeah. I don't think they ever decide who won. I think they just, like, end up kind of closing the scene out.
Yeah. Only thing in that scene, and it winds up being very important. Mm-hmm. They plant these things. We find out Ricky knows a lot about computers, and that will come into play later and possibly save the day.
Which isn't that kind of impressive for the 80s? Because they weren't as common.
Mm-mm, no. So for him to know that much, yeah. So Ricky tells Edward a little more about how the mom just got married and wanted to go skiing in Switzerland, and they wanted to get him out of the way. And he says, I want to live with you. And Edward says, I don't think that's a good idea. My house just isn't set up for kids.
This isn't a place for kids. This is an adult home.
Do you agree with that, Victoria?
I just stared at it and I was like, what? What?
This looks totally like a kid's house. It's full of games and toys and a freaking train yeah. riding through the room, you know?
Yeah.
Hysterical. It's just crazy. Like having a tree in your locker. Victoria and I's lockers are next to each other at the library. And one day she opened up her locker and there was nothing in it. Nothing.
I do not need to keep everything in my
locker. I keep a little bag of mints. I keep like a little lip balm, a little something.
Well, I mean, now I have a bag of Jolly Ranchers.
Lately, but back then you had nothing.
Sure.
And I said, Victoria, you have nothing in your locker. And she's like, at least I don't have a freaking tree.
Yeah, pulls out a Mardi Gras tree in like, what, May?
I had a tree in my locker, but
it was a real tree.
It was a little whatever a tree. But do we have storage for Mardi Gras at decorations? No, we have Christmas, we have Easter. So I had no place to put it. So it was in my locker, but I did bring it home. Okay. So there. But when she said about me having the tree in my locker, it was very funny. But that's what this room it's like. It's just everything in it. There probably was a tree somewhere.
I think there was actually. He had a bunch of plants. He had some few plants in there.
It was just very crowded. There was just stuff everywhere.
So much going on.
Yeah. So Ricky doesn't want to go back to military school. He wants to live with his dad. We need each other, Dad. But Edward says, look, let's just have a great afternoon together and let's just leave it at that. And that's one of the things. Part of the reason I think we only see him in that one outfit is I think this whole episode takes place in one day.
It does.
Yeah. Okay. So Ricky says, well, and this was sad. He says, I guess I'll go back to school and I won't tell my friends the truth. That nobody wanted me. Jeez, bummer.
I thought that was so sad.
That was very sad. What do you think of Ricky Schroeder as an actor? For a kid to pull off this kind of sentiment?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think he had to go.
Yeah. Well, in that movie, The Champ, that I told you was mm-hmm. kind of his breakout role, which was 2 years before this, so he was 10. Apparently, I never saw it, but I remember that it was a huge emotional scene. He had a play at the end. I think The Champ dies. Sorry, guys. Spoiler alert. And it just... was huge emotional role for this young kid to play, and he apparently knocked it out of the park. So we leave it with Edward just doesn't seem like he wants Ricky to live there. I think he's more afraid. We'll get there. So the business manager is sitting in Edward's study or office or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Lou is his name. And Ricky overhears Lou on the phone with his side piece. What is he talking about? What was he telling her?
I don't want to repeat that. You mean the other stuff, how he was like, oh, yeah, I sucked him dry. I have all his money. He's stupid. We're going to Paris. Let's go, honey. Woo-hoo!
We're going to Paris. Let's go. So Ricky kind of hears this, and Ricky enters the room. Ricky starts acting like he's 6 years old. He says, hi, mister. Hi, what are you doing, mister? Did you catch that?
Yeah, I love how he played dumb.
And so he said, what's that on the screen? What's that? So he shows Ricky Mr. Stratton's bank account.
Mm-hmm. And it's zero.
0.00, which was Bluto's grade point average in Animal House. Do you know of that movie?
No.
Anyway, little Ricky knows what Lou is up to now.
Yeah.
Lou leaves because he's going to Paris with his side piece.
Woohoo!
Yeah. In comes Edward and his attorney, Leonard. Leonard's in the middle of trying to get Edward to sell the house because Lenny's still like, you have no money. You're broke.
I think it's weird how close he is to his attorney. Like, what is he into that he needs his attorney consistently?
But I think, and God, I've never been rich, but I think people who are really wealthy and own, because he owns a huge business. I think he owns a toy company, believe it or not.
That would make sense.
I think when you're that rich and have that, you need an attorney like around all the time.
For what?
I don't know. Like, you keep one on hand.
In your house? This man's following him room to room.
That's true. He was. I like Leonard, though. Anyway, so Ricky says, I got something to show y'all. So he pulls up Edward's bank account on the computer. Mm-hmm. Nothing but zeros. Edward's like, what does that mean? And they both like,
you're broke.
Which that's like the 100th time that's been said during this show. And Edward is still not getting the fact that he's broke. Ricky says, but look at your business manager's bank account. I paused it. The number was $32,456,780.
Wow. Oh, but I do have a note that says there's no way Edward is as dumb.
You know, I had that note. How is someone that dumb that rich? He did inherit a lot from his dad. But
yeah, because he did say, you know, I was born rich, I'll die rich. So, I mean, if he was born into the money, I think he's never had a sense of responsibility.
He says, look, Dad, look what Lou's got in his account. Edward says, hey, Lou's doing all right for himself.
Not doing too bad.
Yeah. And Ricky says, now that you've seen your bank account and Lou's bank account, what does that tell you? Edward said, that Lou's got more money than me.
Yeah.
So Ricky looks at Leonard and goes, you want to take this? I can't. No, I can't anymore with this guy.
I can't do this. Yeah, because at this point in time, all I could think about was parentification. You know what that is?
No.
Parentification is a psychological thing where essentially...
Is that the official definition? A thing?
Yes. Okay. Thing. It's this thing in psychology where basically the child is parenting the parent and the child takes on the role as the parent in some form. Like, hey, you're broke. Here's how you check your bank account.
Yeah.
Hey, you shouldn't hire, like everything that Ricky has done so far feels like parentification because Ricky's like, you need to be mature. You need to help me. We need to have a serious conversation. And this man who I would age, what is he, like 34, 35, something of that nature?
I think he's 39.
Okay. You know, he's like, oh, whatever, let's play foosball. Let's forget it. Like, it really, I just started to think of parentification. And I was like, I don't know if this aged well.
So Leonard explains that Lou has been siphoning money from Edward and putting it into his own account. Edward says, call it a hunch, but I think Lou might be a crook. But where did he hire Lou from?
You know, I mean, he came to me crawling, explaining that he couldn't get a job because of his prison record. So I hired him to handle my money. I was like, no, really, there's no way this grown man is this dumb.
Yeah, they really laid that on a little too thick, I think.
Yeah.
Because, of course, Ricky's the one who saved the day. Ricky knows all about computers. Ricky figured it out. The dad had no clue how they need each other. Because you could really see how Ricky would need the dad. But now you see the dad also needs him. And they really are playing it up. I think they made the dad a little too stupid. So Ricky's going to go have that sandwich. And he says, Kate, I'm going to go eat my sandwich. And when I come back, I want you to show me to my bedroom. And you could see the look on Edward's face. Like, look, he's not staying. I'm not planning on him staying here.
I'm not playing dead.
Well, after Ricky leaves, Edward, who's playing with a Rubik's Cube. Did you notice that? He had it in his hand and he was... Do you know what a Rubik's Cube is?
Yes, I know what a Rubik's Cube is.
Okay, well, I didn't know if that was
I got it.
That was big in the 80s.
They had a surge of popularity in the 2000s.
Oh, they did?
And every kid wanted one.
Oh, okay.
I had one. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, no. My daughter and my son both can do it.
I can't do
it. Some algorithm or something. Some kind of thing. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, so he said, look, Kate, would you just bring him back to military school? You know, I could just bring him back. I like Ricky. I don't want to hurt him, but I was a terrible son. I was a terrible husband, and I know I'll be a terrible father. So here you got to kind of feel sorry for him because it's like, look, I failed at everything I do. I don't want to fail this kid. He's better off without me.
See, I had the different mental approach.
Okay. What did you
step up to the plate? You had a kid take responsibility?
Well, here's the thing, too. Let's realize something. Like we said, this all takes place in one afternoon.
Yeah,
to be hit with,
that's true.
I got a kid that's 12. I didn't know I had this kid for 12 years. I'm going to give him a little slack because it's taken him a little time to process. And as we will see, he does do the right thing.
Yeah.
So it's new. If this was a month later, I'd say, okay. But he just learned an hour ago. So I'm going to give him a little slack. And because he's so darn cute, the dad, you know, because I still have a crush on him. He's so cute.
He's a haircut.
Oh, well, so does Ricky. We've established hair is all too long on the guys back then.
He needs to get an education. You have that much money. How do you not get an education?
Mention that. Anyway, okay. So Kate breaks the news to Ricky. She assures him that his father loves him. Your father's a good man. He just never grew up. She's got a point.
Yeah.
Ricky says, but I helped him. And then in a really heartfelt plea, he said, I want a father.
Aww. Yeah.
But he's ready to go back to military school. And she says, well, here, take this picture of your dad with you.
I have a note that says, that is a huge picture to take back to military. Like, does that even fit in the regulations of what you can bring?
It's like an 11 by 15.
I'm thinking like a wallet size or like one of those little like older like oval things that are like not even 6 inches tall.
Big old giant frame.
Giant picture. And who keeps a headshot of themselves like that? Just lying around.
You're right. So she wants him to take the picture of his dad. He goes, no, he don't want me. I don't want him. And he puts it down on a foosball table. But what happens?
He runs back in and grabs it.
Now, next thing we see, we are at Burton Military Academy. Now, do you know who his roommate was? The kid playing his roommate?
No, but he looked punchable.
His roommate, Derek, is a real ass. Let's just put it that way. He's played by Jason Bateman.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Jason Bateman is? I'm going to tell you a little bit about him when we get to the trivia at the end. He's really got a very successful career now. He's been in a lot of movies, like big screen movies, like Horrible Boss. He was in Identity Thief with Melissa McCarthy. It was so funny. And I think that he might direct or something. But Jason Bateman's had quite a career. But he plays a little, the kind of kid you really want to slap. And he taunts Ricky. I told you your dad wouldn't want you.
I love what Ricky said to him.
He took one look at you and threw you out just like your mother did.
I love what Ricky said to him.
What did he say?
I see why all your gerbils commit suicide. I was like, okay, like that was the first time that I truly laughed. And I was like, I like this kid.
But Derek was, that's just low. That's just mean. So he said, no, you're wrong. My father loves me. And Derek says, then how come you're the only kid around here to have nobody come see you on Parents Day? Oh, man, that's low. That's brutal. But then, suddenly we're in a horror movie. And a creature, like the creature from the Black Lagoon, comes creeping through the door. You see the webbed, green webbed hands grabbing the door and opening the door. And you see the big face, like the creature from the Black Lagoon, and the big webbed, flippered feet walking towards Ricky's bed.
And so I immediately
Ricky
knew.
Looks up and says,
hi, Dad.
He knew it was his dad.
I knew it was his dad. Why a sea monster?
To me, it looked like Creature from the Black Lagoon because, like we say, I'm old. But he says it's the Swamp Thing. So that must have been a thing in the late 70s, early 80s. Swamp Thing? I don't know.
Maybe he just didn't know what to call it.
So, like, the kid's like, what are you doing here, Dad? You know, is this another game?
Can I help you?
Yeah, basically. But the dad apparently has had a change of mind. And he said, I think we can learn a lot from each other. Now, they didn't show it, but I think maybe Kate had a lot to do with this. I think maybe Kate sat Edward down.
Maybe.
With her non-Botoxed face.
Maybe.
Her beautiful, untouched face, and had a talk with him.
You could tell he, like, really wanted to help him. And I think really part of it was he didn't have any money.
How are you supposed
to feed a kid if you don't have any money?
Yeah.
And at one point in time, Ricky was like, I'm cheap to feed. And all I can think is, no kid is cheap to feed.
No, but then after Ricky showed him, he realized, and the attorney already had left and was getting the guy arrested and everything. So you know he's going to get his money back.
Yeah, he's going to get his money back. And, you know, he's got enough servants. So even if he's bad with the kid, he can at least hire people to help him.
Yeah, so the dad hops up on the bunk and they start talking and he said, well, you know, I think we can learn a lot from each other. Did I mention that I had a crush on the actor who played the dad?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, just want to point that out one more time.
I think you mentioned that once.
One more time. But the dad explains, I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth and I never grew up.
That's where it all clicked for me because I was so confused why I was called Silver Spoons.
Yeah, and that sets up the show.
Yeah.
And he said, I thought this was great. I can help you be more of a kid and you can help me be less of one.
Yeah.
Boom.
Parentification.
Exactly. What did you call it? A thing, a thing, a thingy?
Thingy, thing, thing.
There we go. There's the thing, a thing, thing. And he said, well, you have so much. Why would you want me? And he said, I can hire anybody to do anything except be my son. Do you want the job?
Thought that was so cute.
Yeah. You bet, Dad. So then in comes the little ass. You just, where you think you going, Ricky?
I'm going home.
Home. Aw.
Jeezy.
The end. So he's going to stay. I hope he gets a haircut. So.
And new clothes.
Okay, so that's the end. That's the end of the episode.
Yes,
we're setting up a series here. Let's talk about a couple of things. Can you see where they can take this series? Is there enough material to build an entire series? And they're going to go for 5 seasons, over 100 and something episodes.
Yeah.
There's a lot they can do with this.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. It opens up it kind of feels like a cliche of, oh, we're going to put them in school and we're going to make them normal and squee, 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 squee. I just really hope that Edward cleans his living room.
It wasn't dirty. It was just cluttered.
It gives me anxiety. It looks like a child's playpen and they haven't cleaned in like 2 weeks.
So there's no dirty diapers around there.
Well, no, but you know, like a playroom, like, you know, no one picks up after it and it's like, oh dear, I'm going to step on a Lego.
And you know, there were Legos there. We just didn't see them.
Exactly.
You know, they were there.
Probably in a different room.
I look at it as a scale and it's almost like it's going to take a lot. And it's what the dad said. The dad's going to teach him to lighten up, but not have to be so responsible all the time. And the son's going to teach him, hey, you need to be more, you know, it's like they're going to balance each other out. And I think, hey, I want to stay on this ride and see what happens with these two. I think it's a good potential for a series.
I keep trying to like compare it to stuff that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of is like, have you seen Gilmore Girls?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard a lot about it.
Okay. So essentially, Gilmore Girls is a single mom with a daughter, and the mom was raised by these rich people. She did not get along with them. The whole story follows a single mom and the daughter because they had a really good relationship, and the whole thing is like, oh, I want to help you have a happier life because I had everything that I wanted. I just didn't want it because it was handed to me.
Right.
And I want to help you have a happier life, and you can teach me kind of how to grow up because she was young when she had her daughter.
Right.
That's okay, kind of what it reminds me of.
Yeah. See, they remade the premise over and over again.
And the house looks like a castle too.
Do you think there was a message in this episode? And if so, what would it be?
It kind of reminded me of kids that don't have both their parents at home. How do I put it? It's not like a, hey, everything's going to be hunky-dory. It's more of like a, here's what you dream about. We made your dreams a TV show. To get you out of your head.
Exactly.
It's kind of what it reminds me of.
Like kids can escape. Kids maybe who don't have a dad or don't have a mom can escape in this show. And it's like, this would be a dream for them. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Like, yeah. Like,
I want Edward to be my daddy. Ooh.
I'm okay. My dad's not around. And so for me, part of it was like, oh, I can't really laugh at this because I relate too hard.
Right.
But also at the same time, I was like, I can kind of see it. I can kind of see the appeal of this show. for me, it was mixed emotion, but I can also see like other kids like me relating to it.
Yeah. So you could see where this show would resonate with kids in the 80s back then. Okay, cool. Is there anything in your, since we're finished with the episodes, is there anything in your notes we haven't covered about the episode?
Servants in the 80s? Like, this man isn't royalty. This man isn't Jeff Bezos.
No. Rich is servants, no matter what year it is.
True.
Yeah. So let's take a short break and we'll be right back. Just like to announce that if you are not a member of our Facebook group, please go join. It's called Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And what I do is about a week or two before the podcast drops, I will go in and tell you what show we're going to be podcasting about next, but specifically what episode we're going to be talking about. And I'll tell you exactly where to find it on what platform. I'll even post a link, whether it's Amazon or Hulu or any of the free streaming apps like Dailymotion, Pluto TV, Tubi TV or Crackle TV, I'll let you know exactly where to find it. That way you can go in, watch the episode, and when you listen to the podcast, you can follow along with us scene by scene because you will have seen the episode. And you can find out, did you laugh in the same places we laughed in? Did you not like what we like? Or did you like what we liked? And it'll be kind of fun to follow along. Just wanted to put that announcement out there to let you know that in that Facebook group, you'll have all the information before the podcast drops. And we're back, and we hope that you are all already members of our Facebook group. And now on with our recap of the episode. Let's bring this puppy home, Victoria. Let's talk about how funny it was. Humor meter on a scale of 1 to 10.
So I'm not the type to laugh at TV shows often. I have a really dry sense of humor. So when you try to be funny, I just think you look weird.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave it a 4 out of 10.
Okay. You ain't gonna believe this. I gave it a 4 out of 10.
Oh, thank goodness.
It wasn't crazy fall down funny.
No.
It had a couple of moments here and there. See, and I'm like you, shows that are trying too hard to be funny just don't do it for me. You know,
I feel like you can go watch Seinfeld.
Yeah. You know, and we talk a lot about shows that the humor comes from things. How do I say this? Like, they'll make jokes. I always bring up the Partridge Family because my son did the Partridge Family. It's back in like 1969, this show. You never heard of the Partridge Family?
You've never seen Gilmore Girls.
Touche. Okay, you
and
got
that
me.
And came out after you were born.
But anyway, he talks about how they'll make jokes and you don't get them today because they mention a star from back in the day, mm-hmm. or a song or something going on in the world at that time that it doesn't translate. It doesn't carry over. It's not. You're not going to get it 40 years later.
No.
This show has it carried over. They don't mention anything of the time, really.
They're timeless jokes, but the jokes just aren't funny.
LOL, a favorite moment. Let's
go. Okay. So I have Ricky and Lou, and he goes, oh, I'm in the neighborhood, and I just thought I'd say hi. Tap, tap, tap. Hi. I thought that was funny.
That part was funny. My funniest moment, when he said, I was born rich, I'm going to die rich. And he said, well, if you wanted to die rich, you should have died yesterday. I thought that was funny. Now, the watchability meter. This basically just means, like, if you were flipping channels, and you saw Channel had a Silver Spoons marathon.
Today?
Well, anytime. Would you want to watch this show again? Because some people are like, no, absolutely not. I'm good. I don't need to see it anymore.
Modern day? Not like when I was back in the 80s. Like
today. Like today.
No.
Okay, not at all. So on a scale of 1 to 10, it'd be like a 1 or a 0.
I gave it a 6 because I would watch the next episode. But if I was flipping through TV and they had, mm-hmm. you know, like other, like, I don't know how to put this. The news is more entertaining right now because there's a lot going on in the news.
Right. To me, I have a podcast about old TV.
Yeah.
Right? I love that stuff.
Yeah.
To me, it's an escape from today.
For me,
life was so simple back then.
But going back for me is like, I mean, I'm 24. I don't have a whole lot to go back on.
Right, right.
But it's also like, for me, I'd be like, oh, let me go watch Lilo and Stitch or, you know, Kim Possible or Gilmore Girls, you know, stuff like that. I don't know. It's okay.
Okay.
It really just kind of felt like, and I know Full House came after, but it felt like a knockoff Full House.
Yeah. Oh, Full House came way after. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, but because I grew up watching Full House reruns on Nickelodeon at night. And I was like, you know, it's the set and the way the house is laid out. And I don't know. I would watch Full House over this.
Okay. I put 8 simply. Well, for me, it would be a lot of just nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't nostalgia and I had never seen it, I'd want to see, well, how's this relationship going to build and grow and how's this going to play out? But also I'd want to watch it because I had this mad crush on the guy who played the dad.
I cannot stand the dad.
And here's the thing. I do not have a crush on Edward Stratton III.
Good.
I have a crush on Matt Phillips from Bare Essence.
Yeah, I kind of understand that.
He was a world-renowned fashion designer, Matt Phillips. Sophisticated. He was, this man. Everything the opposite of Edward. Then this actor played him wonderfully. Anyway, let's talk about a little trivia. First of all, the character of Derek Taylor, portrayed by Jason Bateman, became so popular that the show's producers became concerned that he was going to upstage the star, Ricky Schroeder. Because this kid stays on the show. Mm-hmm. When he moves in with his dad and all, Derek's his friend from school, and he's the same little, you know, ass.
Oh, lovely.
But he was very popular. He was like a breakout star on the show. The character was subsequently dropped after the second season.
Oh.
Bateman went on to star in his own short-lived series called It's Your Move in 1984, and then he was cast as Valerie Harper's eldest son on the NBC sitcom Valerie in 1986. So he has kind of been on TV and in movies ever since. The train set that ran through the living room, in which characters would often enter, was a real steam engine. In a 2015 interview with Glamour magazine, series star Ricky Schroeder said that the train was actually big, heavy, and dangerous due to the massive amounts of air pressure inside. Schroeder revealed that while most cast members enjoyed riding the train, it made him anxious due to the danger involved.
I didn't know they made them that small.
Mm, apparently so. NBC initially, now I'm about to throw out the name of another movie and you're going to say, never heard of it. No, wait, you know what? Hold on. Hold on. Because this piece of trivia, when I read it, I was like, wow, it's literally one of my favorite movies of all time that you've probably never heard of.
What is it?
But here we go. I'm building up the suspense. NBC initially conceived Silver Spoons as a series aimed at adults based on the hit film Author from 1981.
Oh.
About a ne'er-do-well alcoholic lead. The Author character eventually morphed into Edward Stratton III. The show's concept was also retooled after the network decided to make the show a vehicle for the then-child actor, Ricky Schroeder, who was under contract to NBC at the time. Author, you never saw that?
No.
Dudley Moore plays Author, and he's this rich, rich, rich guy. Just inherited all this money, but he was just like a kid. But it was funny. It was such a good movie.
Never heard of this.
Anyway, the show will eventually go on, and Kate and Edward will get married.
Aww.
So spoiler alert, but I wanted to let you know that they're going to get married. The show was known for the living room filled with arcade games. Jason Bateman stated that the cast and crew would take turns playing the games during taping breaks, placing wagers on who could get the high score.
Oh,
so apparently that was all real games and stuff.
That's kind of, okay, maybe I was a little off on the budget thing then.
And the last thing is, to drive home the concept of Edward needing Ricky to help him grow up, his ineptitude, especially at business, was greatly exaggerated in the early episodes. In the later episodes, he is way more adept at running his business with the help of Dexter and Kate.
Oh, so they calm down.
Yeah, Dexter's his attorney after Leonard leaves. Okay. So I think they, like they said, they just played it up here, make him dumb, because I can remember watching the later episodes and he's very much involved in his business and the factory and the this and the that. And he's just more not stupid. Couldn't think of the right word. But here's the thing. Here's the thing we also say when we watch these shows. You have to just suspend reality and just say it's a TV show. It's not real.
Yeah.
You know, because man would have lost his money a long time ago if was that stupid.
Oh, I know.
You know. So anyway, we've come to the end. Have you anything else to say about Silver Spoons?
No.
That's it?
It was cute.
It was cute. Would you want to come back and do this again?
Yes.
Yay!
I like it.
Good.
It's fun.
I'm going to have you back.
Cool.
Well, Victoria, thank you so much. Say bye.
Bye. Thank you.
This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this episode of Old TV with a New Twist. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on your Apple Podcast app. And join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about, and we'll keep you informed of what's to come. We'll be back next month with a whole new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.